Bonjour, everyone. Welcome back to the Magpie Challenge TV. Welcome to Naughty Brewery in the live podcast. It's Tuesday. It's 7 p.m. That means cheers
time.
It does indeed. We've got loads to get through.
I mean, we're here for the podcast, but
that's what we're here for. We look like we might be staying behind the bar. Right? Who's next?
Who wants
to
say you're not getting saved? You're not getting saved. Right behind the bar, Jared.
We are. We are behind the bar, live, little stand-up edition, mix things up a little bit.
On my feet this week.
On my feet, now, I mean, the graph never stops.
Past 30 and now, my knees will be killed by the end of this.
This counts as exercise, this is a stand-up.
It's
lovely. Anyways, let us know in the chat how yous are doing, what yous want us to talk about, any topics, and get your comments in, as usual, your thoughts as we look ahead to the Palace game. Finally, there's a match, because yesterday was obviously last 10 days, no games. No games.
Been a bit of a lift in one.
But there's two games in the space of a few days.
Yeah.
Two winnable games.
Make up for it.
Yeah, big games. Winnable. Big games. So on this podcast, you would have seen the title and the thumbnail, Bruno Guimarães. As again, transfer window isn't even open yet, you know. This is what's going to be for the next 3 months.
It's going to happen, this.
Arsenal and Man City eyeing up a move for Bruno. We're going to talk about Anthony Gordon's overlap interview that came out today. That was quality.
Yeah.
Look towards the Palace game, Man of Stavely stuff, and Isak stuff as well. And then anything else you've got to put in, any questions in the comments, as we'll round things off. So, have you had a chance to watch that Anthony Gordon overlap with Gary Neville?
I watched it today while I was hard at work. If the employers are watching, then I definitely did not watch it. So, yep. I did manage to get it watched this morning. Yeah, it was good. Really good.
Oh, it's class. I loved him. Really. I thought it was brilliant.
It was different. I got a good, insight to him. So, yeah, I loved him. I thought it was really good.
I think that's why I really wanted to do it as well. To prove people that he's not the stereotype that I thought he was.
Yeah.
And even Gary Neville was saying it. Gary Neville was blown away by him.
He said it like three times, didn't he? He was like, I'm amazed by this. Gary Neville was absolutely mind-blowing, wasn't he?
His ego will be through the roof now. Like, Gordon's head will be massive, isn't he? But Gary Neville was bigging up and saying how much, you know, he was impressed by him, surprised by him, because he does have that appearance in the media where a lot of people think he's that scouse lad, you know, he's
one of the most hated players in the Premier League. Like, I can't lie, and I'm pretty sure everybody watching, everybody listening had the same feeling that when he played for Everton, they hated him. Mm. I did. Him and Rickarlison. I remember that game that we played at Goodison a couple of years ago. Honestly, if I could run on the field and chin the pair of them, I'd have loved to. I couldn't stand either one of them at Everton. But I think it's different when someone is in your kit. Like, you get behind them. Like, you can see why Everton fans did like him. Obviously, didn't end up that way. But when in the black and white, just love him. Like, I think he's absolutely class. Like, he is a bit of a shithouse. And as you say, I think that is why he wanted to come on and kind of change people's opinion of him, because he is different. Like, it blew my mind as much as Gary Neville's as well. I think everyone else, like, just how switched on, how ambitious he is, like, how focused he is. Like, he's clearly career-driven, like, both personally and for the clubs and for his country. Like, what he wants to do, like, it's just beyond measure. Like, his preparation, like, the psychology that he mentioned multiple times, like, it was stunning. Like, I don't think anyone really kind of had that perception of him. I think everyone just thought he was just a snotty kid. Like, I think he's just turned 23 last week or something like that. He's just turned 23, so still young. Not very well liked, bit of a knob, but I think that really changed everyone's perception of him. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good of him to do that.
It definitely did. And when you look at it from Everton point of view, when he's there, you said it, you know, you think, he's a shithouse, he's a cheat, he's a dive, he's a dresser, he's a disruptor.
He's always like quite like aggressive and all, like he always like complained, he was like whinging on, like he's quite like aggressive and all, like for however old he was at the time, he'd only been 20, 21 at most of the time, maybe he was 19, like he was getting it right in people's faces, he was really like aggressive, like a bit like pushy, shovey, and you just thought, I'd love someone, I'd love Joe Little to just stick a nut on
him. Fabian Shaw nearly did, didn't he? Because they were squaring up like months before he signed.
But you have to say that when it's for your team, not against your team. When it's against your team, it's like, piss off. But when he's in your black and white, then you've got to back him up.
People have said, you know, he's a disruptor, he'll cause problems. It couldn't be further from the truth, and it shows how you can't just believe what you see on the pitch for 90 minutes about someone's personality and the character. Because it's unbelievable. And Neville said, I've never met many players of any like you, and especially ones that are like early 20s.
Uh-huh.
From to be that clued up is unbelievable for me. Like, it blew my mind how rational he is, how sensible he is, how psychologically he is. Because he said that if he wasn't a footballer, he probably would be like a sports psychologist or just a psychologist, because that's what he's really interested in. He reads the books, he just meditation, visualization. What I loved about it, one of the best things was he said match preparation for him starts 2 days before the game.
Well, yeah. And
so say for the Saturday, yeah, for the Saturday, on the Thursday, he's already researching the fullback he's coming up against, and he's already seeing how things could play out.
Yeah.
How that chance is going to be in front of goal, how he would put it past the keeper.
Yeah, like
he's visualising the warm-ups, everything. Because you said a lot of the players in the Newcastle dressing room and loads of players, it just comes to them. They don't really believe in anything like that. They'll just rock up and hope the skid will do the rest.
Yeah. I think Gary Neville said that as well. I think most players, let alone young players, and especially wingers as well, just kind of let that business kind of do the talking. Like they'll just rock up and just sort of improvise, just like let their natural ability sort of take over and just kind of go with the flow. But no, I like it, and I think that's how players should be. Like, I'm surprised. Like, and I'm surprised that more players aren't like him. I think, especially for the wages that they're on, like, I think some players maybe are a little bit cocky, and I think that's the way that people perceive Anthony Gordon. I think they think he's a little bit cocky, but he is quite mature for his young age, and like someone to like say visualize that and prepare, like proper preparation, like say things and like all the psychology and everything that goes into it. Like, I feel like that should just be a kind of standard thing for a player to do, like, and to want to win and try and visualize what am I going to do in a game, like have like 2-3 days preparation, visualization. Like, I feel like that should just be a standard, and we shouldn't really be like praising him for doing such. I just feel like it should just be a normal thing. But when he comes out and says it, and even Gary Neville's like, oh, well, I've never heard anyone say that. Like, that's kind of what got me. I was thinking, like, why don't more players do that? Like,
it shows that some don't take it as serious as he does.
He's
career driven.
I love that he's got
targets, he's got goals, he knows what. Whereas some players, look at Marcus Rashford these days, there's no way he's visualizing. He's not even thinking what's happening when he's on the pitch. I mean, 2 days before he gets on it. I just try and compare him to someone there who he's fighting for that position on the left wing for England in the summer. Him, Foden, Grealish, they all play there. Top players, like, well, meant to be top players, has been in the past, goes through spells, Marcus Rashford, 350 grand a week. This is just an example that's came in my head. There's no way he's putting in that effort. He keeps on getting bollocked because he's turned up late at training. He's got Belfast on nights out, nights before the game, same game day. So it shows it's a lot of mindset, man, and you have to get it right. And I think I think seeing that today and hearing what he says and everything, he's going to go to the very top for me. Like,
well, that's what he wants. And I don't know if it was a little bit of a slide dig at Everton. I don't know if it was meant to be, whether it was or not, I don't know. But yeah, like he says that he wants to make it to the top, and where he was at Everton, that was never going to stick around. And I completely forgot about the links with Chelsea as well, to be fair. That. Like, I think they were 50-60 million, I think it was, that they were meant to be putting
on the back page, is that?
At the time, I thought that's crazy money. He's not worth it. It's a bit of a joke. I don't even know what Chelsea's seeing in him. I knew he was a good player, a young player with potential. So when we were coming in for 45 million, I was thinking, I think that's a bit of a gamble. Like, we'll see if it pays off. But so he's still young. At the time, he would have been, 22, 21 years old. I think we would have been 21 when we signed him. He's just turned 23 now. So, yeah, like, this sign, like, what he wants to do, like, you had to leave Everton. And he says when Newcastle came calling, obviously at the time we were fourth in the league, pushing for the Champions League, and he mentioned when we'll win titles. Like, he knows we're going to win shit. And I think he knew that if he stayed at Everton, all he would be doing was fighting relegation every year, like getting points deductions and shit. So that's just no point staying there and like not achieving his goals. Like, I don't know if he was a Liverpool fan or a Everton fan growing up. Obviously, his scouts, like you mentioned, Steven Gerrard was his hero. So I don't know if he's a red dressed in blue, like Carragher was the other way around. Carragher was a blue growing up, and obviously ended up spending his career at Liverpool. But yeah, like, you obviously had to move away from Everton to progress, whether that was Chelsea or Newcastle or Arsenal, City. Like, you had to develop. And I don't know what I was thinking when hearing that, is obviously it was a good thing that he wants to develop his career, but I was going to mention here, do you think if, obviously we're sixth now, we'll be playing Europa League next year, do you reckon if City or Liverpool or an Arsenal came in for him, that might persuade him to kind of want to move on again?
That's the worry when he has these huge ambitions
to
win trophies.
Worry,
it falls into the same bracket as Bruno Nunes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All these players are going to be happy with Europa League. All these players are going to be happy with quarterfinals that we've been doing. Obviously, I think the next one to 3 years is massive in Newcastle. I think give it another couple of years, these players might be happy for the project to try and play out and see how things go. And if in 2 years' time, we're in the same boat now where, you know, we're getting the quarters, we might get beaten in that final, we get fifth, sixth, we're not quite second, third, fourth, then these players might go, oh, do you know what it is? Because then they're either going to be 25, 26, 27, and not 23 anymore. And then everything changes and think, fuck me, I'm going to be 30. Time we've done it around the horizon. So I would worry, definitely, if someone came in for him, I would, because he wants to do all that, and that's guaranteed. If Man City are like, oh, well, Jeremy Doherty's not good enough, so we'll get Gordon in. Gordon will be like, I'm going to win the treble.
My worry for him, like, or as any player going to Man City as opposed to like Newcastle, at least at Newcastle, he's starting 11 and he's loved.
And he's
go to City, just a squad player. Because they're too deep. They spent 100 million on Grealish, rarely gets a game. Even the best players like De Bruyne, Foden, anyone can sit on the bench. Like, they're just that cheap. So you're not guaranteed to play. You're not guaranteed to be a fan favourite. The fans might not love you. You're just another player to them. So, but whereas at Newcastle, like, we love him. He was loved temporarily at Everton. So
he loves it here. He loves it here as well.
Yeah, like, I think we obviously have got that ambition, and I think that matches his ambitions. Like, that's why Newcastle right now, especially, is a far better place for him to be than City. Yes, at City, you'll have all these medals, but so does Scott Carson. What did he do?
That's the thing. I think Gordon wants to be the main man.
He wants to be involved. He didn't want to just be like Grealish, like playing every now and then.
Nah, I don't think he would enjoy that at all. You can see how much he loves it.
Yeah.
He breathes it.
He'd
probably turn
targets.
Back into that angry kid from Everton if he was just sitting on the bench.
Yeah, he's like doing harm. 10 goals, 15 assists, or vice versa. It's like the sort of minimum floor. He wouldn't put a target on what he wants to do because he'll obviously like be chasing the next one. But he says, like, sort of as a minimum. Like 10 goals, 15 assists, or vice versa. That's what he would want. Whereas at City, I don't know if he would get that because I don't think he would stop. Not regularly, at least, anyway.
We're just going to jump away from that for a second and get back to it because Andrew Green just sent in a super chat. Big up, Andrew. Cheers, mate. Where do you think we could have finished if we didn't have any injuries? Great show as always, guys. Thanks, mate. This is the one where you look at it. I think we could have been head-to-head with Villa for fourth.
Yeah.
I really do.
Absolutely.
I think if we didn't have these injuries, even now, you know. People were saying after we beat Spurs, oh, we're only 10 points off Spurs. We're going to catch them for that fifth, but now coefficiency isn't going to benefit England. Mm-hmm. So fifth isn't going to get Champions League anymore because of all the teams that's been knocked out of the European competitions. So that's a stretch, but I think imagine without these injuries, we'd be fourth or fifth easily. Another, 10, 60, 16 points main Villa.
Yeah.
You think of all, even with the injuries, all the games have dropped points in. Even Everton the other week, Bournemouth at home, Luton at home, Forest getting pumped at home.
You mentioned pretty much all the points that were dropped in like the Christmas period. Like, them games were coming thick and fast. Like, we're still in the Champions League and the Carabao Cup. We had loads and loads of games, but we're playing the same 11 without making subs for like 10 games in a row, pretty much. Like,
exactly.
Like 17-year-old Lewis Miley was meant to be had to start every single week, 90 minutes every single week. So, like, and you say, like, we dropped stupid points. If everyone was fit and healthy, if we had a fully fit squad, Tenali included, would we have dropped points? Like, say, we got pumped 3-0 off Villa, off Forest. We lost and drew to Luton. We dropped points at Wolves away, Bournemouth. Like,
Bournemouth got beat away, drew at home.
Yeah, like, we wouldn't have lost.
These are
beating
against us, you say?
Yeah, like, that many points we wouldn't have dropped if we had a much better full-up squad.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, like, we're only, 10 points off Tottenham now in fifth. I don't know how far we are off Villa. 16. So I think we'd be closing the gap on them at least. Like, we'd be pushing them. So we'd at least
be neck and neck.
We'd at least be 10th, I think. Fifth, right?
I'd be neck and neck. Like, and then when you look at not being able to rotate players as well, Wilson's going to hopefully be back tomorrow. We'll talk on that soon. But imagine if we could chop and change him and Isak throughout the season. Barnes, Gordon, and Isak first time they played together, starting together the other day against Spurs. We've seen the result of that. All this time without Joe Linton and Nick Pope. Trippier has been out for ages now.
Yeah.
So I think would be in the top four, and Andrew, just the super chat. Just on to round up the Anthony Gordon interview then, Keg. Another thing that I thought was really interesting from him was the fact that he said he doesn't do weights or even go to the physio room. And Gary Neville was like proper shocked at that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely shocked. The bits that he thought, he was like, hey, how's he getting away with this? He was like, in Man United, everyone would just drag him. Gary was like, you could tell he was like, I wish I
hadn't. Imagine if you skipped weights and Keenan's around, he would have dragged him by it,
You would be the weight. You're killing you. Bench pressing you, Keenan. But I think it shows how much belief he has and then how much belief that then leads on to the coach and stuff, where they're just like, actually, well, it's working either way. Look at the season, so why are we going to argue that? If it wasn't working, they'd be like, actually, Gordon, I think you do need to do this, and maybe you should have changed that. But it's working so well, so why would you? And for his position as well, for needing that quick burst of pace and stuff, it just makes sense for him not to do that. Mm. And the best thing about him saying, and we don't want him to be in the bloody physio room, because everyone else is. Everybody else is in the physio room.
It's too busy, that's why he's not there.
It's not a choice. We haven't got enough beds. We haven't got enough massages. We haven't got enough physiotherapy.
It's like the NHS now, that's not enough beds.
It's not. Everyone's in the corridor asleep. And Louis Miley's outside there, putting plasters on himself. Everyone's absolutely done in. So it's good that he said that, because obviously what he said earlier with Craig Cope in the Mail interview was, you know, availability is the best ability, and that's been the one real asset of his this season as well, is being injury free. You know, it's unreal what he's doing. So stick to his schedule, it's worth a treat.
Yeah, it is surprising. Like, you just sound like, that's not for me, I don't like it, so I'm not going to do it. Like, that kind of does kind of bode well with, like, the sort of arrogance of him a little bit, true. I suppose. But he also, like, he knows what he wants, and he knows what's going to make him a better player. And as you say, he's coming through with this. Like, if he wasn't performing so well, then they might need to step in and say, look, this isn't working, you need to do that to improve your performance. But nothing's gone wrong so far, so he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. As mentioned, he's a clued up kid, like, he knows the psychology and he likes to read and stuff like that. Like, he's switched on and he knows what's best for his body. And he said if he did put a bit more muscle on, that it might like make him like be a little bit slower, because if he had like more muscle mass, he might not be able to do what he wants to do. So he's at the perfect weight and size for his career and where he wants to do and how to be the best left winger that he can possibly be. So until something goes wrong, then let him fucking do what he wants.
I think he'd lose that agility, mate. Do you know how he's so nimble when he takes on a player? It's very quick.
Yeah,
he just quickly shifts onto the right, and then he's left them for dead. So I think he would lose a bit of that if he did get big.
Yeah, as long as it's working.
I don't know how much Rory would have needed that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just leave him be. It's going well so far, so just let him do what he wants.
Two more points, and you briefly touched on it before, is when he said, when we win a trophy. Not if. He's like, when we win a trophy, we'll become legends. He said everyone from this squad wants to do it because they know they'll become legends, because we all know it's been 60, 70 years since Newcastle did lift a meaningful trophy. So that kind of confidence, Gary Neville again was like, oh, so you really believe that?
Yeah, he called him up that. He said, when, not if. Like, are you that confident? And he's like, 100%.
He said, I thought we would have done it this season.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the controls. Well,
yeah, if it wasn't for the injuries.
I can't believe it.
Like,
he definitely wasn't allowed three of us in the air.
He's what he's saying, City in the cup. He's like, oh, sick, yeah. I agree with it as well. Like, obviously, it's not like we're going to have another drought like 67 years. Like, we're not going to go through that again. Like, that's why the investment was put there, the ownership, the takeover, it was put so Newcastle could be successful and that doing the right things, that taking that time, putting the finances where they need to be for the long term survival of the club, like the infrastructure, building the team, the youth academy, all of that. All of that shit that no one really cares about, that obviously Mike Ashley didn't care about, that Rafa Benitez told them were needed, but he was like, nope.
How much is that going to cost? Nah.
I'll just go and buy Harrods instead. So the club is headed in the right direction, and it isn't a when, not an if we'll win anything. Like, I don't know when it's going to be. Three, 4 years, like, whatever it's going to be. Even the Carabao Cup, and I know people laughed at us, like, oh, it's the Fizzy Cup competition, blah, blah, blah. It's still a major competition that everyone wants to win these days. Like, there was a bit of a period at the beginning of the last decade where, like, Bradford City were in the final against Swansea and Birmingham won it, and like, it was kind of taken away a little bit. But now it's taken seriously. City won it like 3 years in a row. Man United won it. Liverpool won it. Chelsea won it. So why can't we win it?
Oh, it was our man. You got mad last year to start the Ten Hag era.
Yeah.
Do you know that when he lifted it? I was like, wait, no, please.
But if they lost and we won, they'd be like, oh, it's the fucking Fizzy Cup anyway. Shit competition. But now, like, if that's what it is, if that's our first trophy, I think it's like ripping off the plaster. Once we've got the taste for it, we'll be coming back to like sharks and blood. Like, once I get the smell of it,
you need that experience, man. And once you do lift that first trophy, it's a knock-on effect. I think Pep's even said it before. He said we just needed that first one. Or was it, I think you've done it the first time around, Mancini or whoever it was. He was like, we just needed that first one. Then we got Premier League, then we got the FA Cup. Then
that's all it'll be. So, yeah, bring on a Carabao Cup win.
Bring it on.
That breaks the duck. It's a major trophy. Then that'll give us the taste for an FA Cup, a Premier League, and want to push forward in the Champions League, try and get as far on that as we could. I'm not saying we're going to win it, because City, that took about 15 years of their takeover to finally lift the Champions League. Like, they thought they were going to win it years before. I'm sure Aguero said, I'm not going to leave here until I win Champions League.
No.
He's like, I'm going to be putting deep by this.
One last thing after this one regarding Gordon, just quickly, he did say, would he fancy being a potential captain or manager in the future? Because Neville, you know, being up on his state of mind, but Gordon was like, maybe. So, you know, he leads by example rather than, you know, boisterous and speaking. He's quite quiet in the dressing room. He lets his actions do the talking type of thing. I'm not sure of manager, but I could definitely see him maybe as a captain, because when he gets that age and people look up to him, and he carries on the way he is with the goal scoring, maybe you could look at him there, but maybe a vice captain. I just think you probably do need to be a bit more.
See, I was thinking the other way around, maybe. I think maybe in the latter end of his career, when he's one of the more senior players, like, his actions can do the talking for him and people still look up to him, and he is the leader and the sort of veteran head. So later in his career, he could be a captain. In the next 5-6 years, I wouldn't have said so.
I would say, though, one thing is that you've got Odegaard at Arsenal. He's not loud or anything, is he?
Well, he might be behind the scenes. You don't know what he's like in the dressing room. Like, and Anthony Gordon says that he's a bit quiet in the dressing room, which makes me think he wouldn't be a good captain. I do think he need to be a bit more boisterous and vocal. Mm. And that's why I say in the future, when he's a bit more of a veteran head and like people can like take him for example, then he could be a captain, but not while he's still young and he's still quiet. But with that experience, I think he could be a captain, a manager. So I don't think he needs to be that boisterous or loud as a manager. I think that's what it, like, you lead by example. Like, you don't need to be shouting. You don't need to be like Fergie. You don't need to be like screaming in people's faces. Like, Eddie Howe,
can't you? That's
enough. I think Eddie Howe's quite calm. I don't think he's that. I think he's a bit more timid. Like, him and Tyndall can sort of like be like the tandem. Yeah,
good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, I think Gordon could be a good manager at the end of his career, and maybe he's a captain in his 30s once he's a bit more mature and experienced, so he can lead by example without being too vocal.
Yeah. Lastly, right, this is one that's done a lot of headlines and other pages and outlets are getting on it now, because he was asked in the good old quick fair questions that turned out to be not too far. three dream dinner guests for Anthony Gordon. Yeah. He came out with Diego Maradona. Yeah. Makes sense. Good one. Icon. Yeah, legend. Do you know what I mean? That'd be a bit rowdy, that party.
Yeah.
Love the old beak.
Colombian marching pattern.
None of that, Anthony. Right, it's too smart. Too sensible for that. Ricky Gervais. Yeah. Makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Hilarious.
One of the best to ever do it. Comedian. You know, yeah. Absolutely funny. Great. Cracking jokes all night long. But Maradona will be doing lanes. Ricky will be doing different lanes. Comedy lanes. So that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yep.
Donald Trump is his third. Actually, I think the second, first one he said.
Second.
So he said Donald Trump is to it with Maradona, Trump, and Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. Everyone was going to comment. Everyone was saying Donald Trump.
Yeah. I got.
And it wasn't because he's a massive Trump supporter.
Yeah. I got both angles. I get why people would probably say that headline and be like, "Oh, he's a Trump supporter. He's a racist. He's this, that. He's the other. Blah blah blah. Build a wall. Keep the Mexicans out."
Speaking of Mexicans.
Mexican lager, first for life, Pierre Daniken.
Yeah, we're a fan. Get the Mexicans in.
I think more meant his like personality, because he mentioned like the psychology. And Donald Trump is such an interesting, bizarre character. So yeah, I think sitting around just probably listening to him talk shit and just trying to like analyze him from like a psychological level and just be like, yep, that's obviously what he meant. He's not like fucking Trump 2024. Like, he's just
interested in his way of thinking and behaviour.
Out of the characters, well-known, sort of publicised characters on this planet right now, Trump's up there. Like,
you
would make an interesting dinner guest.
Totally would. Especially around a table with Maradona and Ricky Gervais.
But I'd love to do that, because I think like Ricky Gervais would just be hammering him. Maradona would be hammered. And Ricky Gervais would just be in his element, just absolutely slating Trump, and they'd end up in an argument. It would just be hilarious.
It would be amazing. I think it's a great show. Make Newcastle great again. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I want to ask you then, your three dream dinner guests.
Oh, I should have been prepared for this.
You should have. Put you on the spot. I haven't thought of any, that'd be honest. I'll go McGregor.
McGregor. I want to see McGregor. Yeah. Probably have the Colombian marching
band. He would have the Colombian eye on all the players. Eminem. Who's the third one? Let us know yours in the comments as well. People,
feel like it's a bit boring, but I've got my sort of psychological reasons behind it, and I would say Prince Harry.
Tony Blair? Oh, Prince Harry, right.
Yeah. Because I just think he's obviously the outcast of the royal family. I think he's a bit mad, and I think that's why he left the royal family. So there's all that stuff asking him about Princess Diana's death and all that, like sort of trying to get inside secrets. But I feel like he's nuts. Like when he was a kid, he was caught having the Nazi uniform on and stuff. Like he's definitely been on the Colombian marching powder back in his young days now. Like I feel like he's an absolute rebel and a renegade. But so I think he'd be interesting from a psychological point of view. But other than that, I don't know. He's Gaza.
Gaza would be great. To be fair, we could probably get Gaza down here next week and ask him.
Probably good. Free beer. There's a fridge there, Gaza.
I think I seen him last week stumbling out, actually. Big up, Gaza. It'd be great to have him on. I go McGregor, Eminem, and then I want someone like Denzel Washington or Michael Jordan.
Ooh, Jordan would be a good one.
Will Smith. Something like that.
Love it.
Tupac. right then, we've waffled on enough about the Anthony Gordon stuff.
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Arsenal and Man City are going to battle it out this summer for Bruno Guimaraes. Those are the reports from the Telegraph today and then other media outlets are picking up on it. So they're all saying that they want the same Bruno this summer and they're going to try and open talks with him.
Good luck.
How much are you willing to pay them?
Blank checkbook.
Because for me, I mean, we're going to get this awesome along. We said before, there was positive news that came out a few days ago. Bruno bought a new £4 million house. £4 million, just a shy £4 million.
That's not that bad.
In a good old Darris Hall there in Ponteland, where most of the players live. So we thought, oh, wait, bought a house, settled in, hasn't he?
Yeah,
this is it.
Settled.
Future sorted, going nowhere. 35-year mortgage, to be here for life. The thing is with this, is that yes, it's positive, but at the same time, it really doesn't matter if a millionaire buys a house, like, because he can just buy it, let him just sell it again. Like,
well, just players,
not gonna affect the situation.
Players will rotate, like, whoever replaces him will probably come in with a nice 60 contract and move in. Yeah, and buy me house there. I'm going up for sale there.
Aye.
So, I don't know, like, exchange. It makes me nervous about the release clause. I don't know really what the details are, but I heard when he signed his new deal not too long ago, just a few months ago, that that'd be a £100 million release clause, which I think's crazy. If that's in there, I think that's stupid business. I don't know why they've done that, because that's what he's valued at, probably more. Mm. We wouldn't want to sell him for 100. I think if someone came in with a £100 million offer, that's, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio in Django.
Oh, he'd be a good dinner guest.
He would be, actually. Yeah, really good. But he'd be like, you've got my curiosity. Now you've got my attention. Like, £100 million? All right, we can start negotiating.
Aye, that's the minimum.
You've got me attention, but let's continue this negotiation. But if he's got a £100 million release clause, then someone can just pay that money well. I think that's at least what he's worth. So bang, trigger, sale.
That's crazy.
So I'm worried about that. So yeah, I'd definitely be more comfortable with about 120 onwards.
Aye.
But yeah, if that release clause is there, then that's not what we're going to really do about it.
Because he signed the new contract not long ago, so there's another positive where he tied his future.
He clearly wants to be here, but I also think why was that put there? Was that him, was his agent? I can't imagine the club putting it in, especially for that cheap. So I feel like that was an agent negotiation.
If that's in there.
So yeah, that worries me if that is true. If that release clause £100 million in there, that really, really worries me.
Apparently it is true, but there is also people saying that it doesn't apply to teams in England. So it's only for, because apparently Bruno has said, I only want to move if it's Spain.
I mean,
people have said Real Madrid because the huge, people have said he supported Barca as a kid. So either one, seeing like, oh, PSG, obviously he's in Paris every chance he gets, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they're like, if PSG, I think he'd come in, 100 mil ban. I quite like that in a way where, because I'd be devastated losing to like an Arsenal. So
yeah,
to see him week in, week out.
True, I'd kind of get that. So yeah, your Arsenals and your cities can literally just fuck clean off if that's the case. Like, he doesn't obviously want to go to you if that was put in the contract, and we don't want to sell it to you. So if he wants to go abroad, like, I think PSG probably is the shelf. Like, so he is there quite a bit. He came from France, so he's obviously got ties there. But Real Madrid's midfield's pretty stacked. You, why would they want to spend £100 million on him? And Barcelona can afford him. I wouldn't. If I was a top-level footballer, although Barcelona would have been a dream going up, like with like your Rivaldos and your Ronaldinhos and all that, right now, they just seem to be up the shit a little bit. Like, they rotate the team far too much because they can't afford to buy players, but then they replace the player that they sold to buy more players. It's like, how are you ever going to get out of debt? Like, that's why you had to sell Messi, because he couldn't afford to keep his contract on. But then he went and spent like 70 million on Lewandowski. What's going on? There's no logic to them at all. So I would avoid Barcelona like plague. Real Madrid would where I'd want to be, but whether they would want him is different. So
not yet.
I think PSG is his best bet, or Bayern Munich.
I think when Modric goes, or with Cruz goes getting on, then he would maybe go there like 18 months' time or something. Yeah. But for now, I just can't say it. But
he's all staying here, so Andre's news.
We know how much Pep loves him now. Pep's giving him cuddles and kissing him on the forehead and everything every time they play. He absolutely adores him. So that's the one that worries me.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal, they've got Odegaard, they've spent £100 million on Rice. Yes, they could probably do with one more party, hasn't been at it, Havertz. But again, with them, would they really come in and spend £100 million?
That's a good point.
I think they're saying it because the fans probably think, oh, we'll get Bruno with £50 million.
Yeah, oh,
You know what I mean? The shit there when they're on about getting the, when that thing came out, where there was like, oh, Arsenal and talks get Isak for 65 million. We paid 65 million for him 2 years ago. What are you talking about, man?
But now you make a good point there. So yeah, Arsenal's one of the teams that's interested. But that release clause, if that is true, that it only applies to foreign teams, then we're not going to sell them for 100 million to you. For your price, it's going to be 120 minimum. But like I said, they just spent that on Rice, and they spent it like, what, 60, 70 odd on Havertz, mm-hmm. and whatever else they've spent. So they spent big last year. Yeah. If you've just spent 120 million pounds on a midfielder, are you really going to do the same a year later? So it doesn't make sense for them to go to Arsenal. City could play there, but again, like we were talking about Gordon, that team's too deep. He wouldn't be a key player there, I don't think. Where would he play? Like that sort of central midfield role where like you've got Stones playing at the minute next to Rodri.
Kovacic does our opening covers
in. City's just a bit of a stupid move. Like, yes, he'd win trophies, but like Grealish, he'd just be rotation. He wouldn't be starting week in, week out, and he wouldn't be a door like he is here. He wouldn't have flags up in the stands.
Totally. And I remember when he did an interview with Sky, I think it was, and he was walking through the forest with his dogs and stuff, like a year into his Newcastle move. And him and his wife were just like, I can't believe how good it is here. They absolutely love Newcastle. And they're like, I can't believe the fan base. I can't believe the stadium, the city. It's amazing. Obviously, we've played in France. We've played in the Champions League and stuff. But we haven't experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you go to the Etihad week in, week out where the atmosphere is crap.
Yeah.
And nobody cares that you're there because De Bruyne's there.
Too big a club.
Because Haaland's there.
Really give a shit.
Because Edison's there. No one's going to really care about Bruno, Man City, really.
People have done that with Newcastle in the past, even when we were shit. Like, take Kennedy, for example.
Kennedy.
Horrible example, because he was wank. But
great on loan, though.
But he loved it. And all. He'd done an interview saying, like, oh, it's mad, obviously, coming from Chelsea, from London. Like, no one cares about you. I think I heard Van Persie say once, actually, when he went to Man United. Like, when he was at Arsenal, you walk down the street and no one would give a shit, because obviously London's just full. But in Manchester, people love you. And I, like, Kennedy said, like, Rafa got the bug, like we used to have the bug back in the day, didn't we? Like Rafa had a release clause in his contract. Like if we got relegated, he could have left, and that would have been easy, like what, 8 weeks work for him. All right, no worries.
Easy 3 mil.
You're already relegated, so I'm just gonna cash this check in and race you out. But obviously, he got the bug and he wanted to be here. And loads of players have done in the past. Some Maximin within the first week, he was going around the Metro Centre and he's tuned up. Like people just get it sometimes at clubs. And
Bruno sits in his house with the Newcastle kits on. Do you know what I mean?
Like big clubs, like big fan bases, especially like a London team, like no one cares.
But he's not going anywhere for me.
Newcastle, well, right up in the northeast, miles away from everybody. Nearest team's Yorkshire
Rangers.
You just loved here because we're such like a one club, one city team. Like we're not Manchester, we're not Liverpool, we're not London. We are a big fan base, and always have been, even when we've been shit. Back in the day, like the last 20 years that we've suffered, we've still been loyal, we've still been there, we've still sold out. Away days at fucking Scunthorpe in the Championship, like packing
Plymouth
on Wednesday nights, like we'd still be there. So they probably haven't ever experienced anything like this and probably won't again when they move on to City, Arsenal, Real Madrid.
No, they won't. And I just think with everything that goes with Bruno, I think he loves the TI, he'll stay here and he believes in the project. Like we said with Gordon, I think he'll be here for another year or two. And if things aren't going the right direction, Then he may think, well, actually, now what? This is time for a change.
Yeah, if I'm not fighting for titles, not continuously sort of top four, pushing myself in the Champions League, then yeah, I can see people wanting to get maybe a little bit restless with the project, thinking it's not moving along as well as I would have liked.
Aye. Jamie Alter, who's a member, he's saying even Bruno's dad is a celebrity in Newcastle. He loves
it.
Yes,
exactly.
I see him in Tesco all the time. He absolutely loves it. Loves the tune.
That's what we mean. Even the parents are getting famous and loved and adored in last
couple of seasons. Anywhere else, no other team in the Premier League.
Does anyone give a shit about Declan Rice's dad or fucking De Bruyne's dad?
Everyone else watching, like, why do they like that Brazilian taxi driver so much? Like, anyone else will get it, but it's just because.
Nah, not at all.
Great one. I think personally Bruno will stay, and I think Paqueta will go to Man City instead, and that'll be the one they go for. But that looks likely. That's 85 million.
I've heard interest in that. That's a lot of money for him.
I know it is. I think it's good. They paid like 55 for him now, didn't it? Be fair. So in the Premier,
make a bit of profit.
I think about 70.
If you want to spend anything on Paqueta, crack on.
Do that instead.
Yourself away from Bruno.
Brazilian buddy. And then you'll realise, Paquetá will be like, oh, this is shit, sitting on the bench of Rieke. Then he'll eventually come to Newcastle.
Put in a transfer request, mate. Bruno's still in Newcastle.
That'll do us. We as well go on to the Ezek stuff as well and quickly, because he is apparently going to get offered a new contract at Newcastle United to fend off impending interest from guess who? Arsenal.
And Man City by any chance?
No, this time it's Barcelona actually. But,
Barcelona.
Because Barcelona want to replace that old Lewandowski, is what reports are suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, we said Ezek to Arsenal, I could see that more than Bruno and Arsenal, because I think they would spend the money on that because they need a striker. The reason they haven't went on to win the league for me in the past two seasons, obviously they still could do it this year, probably not, is because they haven't got that out-and-out goal scorer. And if they did, they'd be a few points ahead, more than they already.
I've seen someone compare Gabriel Jesus to Ezek, saying that
that's outrageous.
That's similar players, they've both got speed and they can take on players. And so
Jesus isn't even a Callum Wilson.
Absolutely not.
He hasn't got the goals.
His
goal record's crap.
I don't see the pace, like skill.
He just play the passes like Amron.
Yeah, skill
like 9 and 10 in 2 months.
Ridiculous. He's
acting on range.
Who put the ball in the back of the net against Everton?
Who put the ball in the back? It was next.
Murphy's goal against Everton away last season. Like, Isaac's skill. Jesus could not do that. No. I don't see many people that could. Like, the way that Isaac runs with the ball, like, he looks like he's going to lose it all the time. He's just like, he's so unorthodox. I think he's so gangly. He's really like tall and skinny. Like, he just looks like he's just going to lose it. But like, his control is just so good, the way he can just like move it away from somebody at the last minute. Like that goal against Everton, I think could have lost the ball about 5-6 times, but he still had it under control. It was just such a mad goal. Like, he's like Henry, and he wears the number 14, and he's like Arsenal. Like, there is a lot of similarities between him and Thierry Henry for me. And he's still young, 23, I think he is.
23 or 4.
I think he's got more to do. Like, he's had some injury problems. He hasn't even played much this season and last season. He had spent a fair bit of time on the sidelines. Like, he's got more to offer. Like, give him a full, if he plays 38 Premier League games, like, I don't even know how many he's played this season, because he's been on the sidelines probably twice for quite a decent amount of time. So we've got 17 Premier League goals, 21 in all competitions, closing in on records since 2004 that Shearer put. Give him 38 games, see what he can do.
That's what I want to see. I'm desperate to see an injury-free season for Alexander Isak, because it's scary what he could achieve.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 17 so far. We've still got 5 games to go. Mm-hmm. Got Sheffield United on Saturday. Now Callum Wilson's meant to be back. There's a bit of rotation. Take him off for 20 minutes to go. Give him a bit of a rest.
He could probably deal with that, to be fair. I think Wilson coming back will help them a bit.
Yeah, he could definitely do with that. I think tomorrow night, on the weekend, give him 45 and give Wilson 45 type of thing. Mm-hmm. Start. It's a good job we've had 10 days since the last game by the time we rose around, so that would have helped him.
I'd maybe wait till Saturday to give Wilson 45. Maybe just give him 10, 15 or something, if he's fit, but still not even 100%
15,
sure yet.
15 tomorrow night.
But I think if, depending on Wilson's fitness for Saturday against Sheffield United, obviously not to disrespect them too much.
No, you never know.
But they are shit. I think they got smashed off Burnley.
God, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Touching wood, hopefully we're not jinxing.
Yeah, sure as well. Chris.
I'd see what Wilson's like. Maybe start Wilson if he's available, just to give Isaac that rest, or let's say give him kind of 45 each, right? Just to give him a little bit of rest that's well needed and well deserved. Like, his goal record over the past couple of months has been ridiculous. Absolutely insane.
So I was on a new show that started on Playback, which is a new platform as well. You have a look on our Instagram story and stuff to click on that. It's going to be a live show Tuesdays at 12, maybe, with me, Matisse Saeed, a few other YouTubers, Chelsea, Arsenal, West Ham and stuff. Not Arsenal, Chelsea, Man U, West Ham. For those teams that are in around 6th to 10th type of thing. And they all said to me, are you going to lose Ezek this summer? How much would you take for him? And we just said about Bruno there. I said I'm not listening to anything less than 100 as a starting point. I'm not even taking 100 for him.
Nah.
And they were like, what, nah, anyway. Again, the thing
about... They obviously don't watch him on a regular basis.
And they were all rating him and saying he's amazing. I thought, like, oh, come on, 100's got to be enough. I was like, 100 isn't enough for me.
It opens the door.
It opens the door. I think you still get to about 110, 115 easy.
Yeah,
because definitely. Who else is doing it like that? Who else has got all those years ahead of him, that potential? The way he plays, you know, the Henry comparisons, the goals to match. He's doing it in the league now. He's doing it at the highest level, the Champions League. Where else are you going to find a striker in world football for that? Yeah. They're talking about Victor Osimhen as the next option for Arsenal or Man United. that's going to cost 100 million. He's playing in Serie A.
Yeah, is he having these two seasons in the Premier League?
He's a great striker, but he's not as good as Isak.
Yeah. Like I say, Isak's proved himself for the last couple of seasons. The scoring goals at a decent rate, proving that he can do it. Not everyone can. Like, look at Chelsea's history record over the past few years. Like,
exactly, big name strikers.
Like Morata and Higuain and whoever else they've had over the last few years, like, came and failed. Like, a lot of players have. Like, a lot of players, like Di Maria. Mm. Like, some people come and think, fuck this, I'm going back.
Same for me.
I'm going back to Spain.
I think Isak, I'll ask you this. Who do you think is more likely to leave this summer, Isak or Bruno?
Oh, that's a horrible question.
It stinks, doesn't it?
It really, really smells, that one. Mm. Potentially with a release clause, Bruno.
Bruno!
And I think he's maybe a little bit more in demand. I think he's done it a bit longer than Isak has.
I don't know.
Like you say, you don't want to get rid of either one of them, really.
No,
really,
definitely don't, mate, because they're both, in a sense, irreplaceable for me.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know which one. I'd argue that would maybe, if we got £100 minimum, I think
£100 million of hope.
£100 million. £100 million minimum. I think Bruno's slightly more replaceable. I think if you got that, obviously for FFP, that pretty much trebles.
So yeah, that's the one where you look at it and think, say that
puts £300 million in your kitty. I think you could. We need a number six, and we could maybe still with another midfielder or another as well. So I think if you get between 120 for FFP up to £300 million, you'd be able to get that better than you could a striker. You'd risk £100 million on Osman or something like that.
I think so.
I think Bruno's slightly more replaceable than Isak is.
I would agree with that, just because I think, and I know Bruno's so influential in the middle of the park, he can't chip from the goals and stuff, but for me, Isak is literally a game changer. He is a match winner. Mm-hmm. We've seen it so many times. With that finishing, movement, he can flip the game on its head. Yeah. Bruno is capable of doing that as well from deep, but for me, you could probably get a really decent midfielder and a few more players.
You can rejuvenate money. The squad with the money that
good. So maybe that's where
finding a consistent goal scorer. That's what you need. Nah. Right? Every position is valuable, of course, but I think a striker that can get 20 goals a season is invaluable, and that's what he's offering right now. 21 in all competitions, 17 in the Premier League with two injuries. Mm. So yeah, I think Isak's hard to replace.
I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say that we don't lose either of them in the summer.
I don't think we will either. I think, as I said before, another year, maybe two. I think the both stay. Yeah, I think we'll be fighting off offers. I think there's obviously interest already said, and transfer window hasn't even really started yet. The season hasn't even ended yet. I don't doubt there'll be interest. Whether we get any genuine offers of what we would consider acceptable, I don't know. But I think anything that we do get, we'll fight off strongly, and I think they're two players that do want to stay, at least for the short term, and see how this project goes.
I've heard people say this as well, and we've got Brent here, who's a member of the channel. Shout out Brent and all the other members. He's saying, you know, Sandro could potentially replace Bruno. Goals are too valuable. A lot of people have said that. They've said, oh, well, take 100 million for Bruno, because his replacement's there, ready to come back this August after his suspension.
Minimum.
Tonali can come in, then you can have a midfielder, Tonali, Julian, and Miley, or get a new player in for the Bruno money, probably.
Because Sancho's like the sort of number eight sort of style as well. Like,
exactly.
I think they both play that number six, but I don't think that's their best positions. Yeah. I'd like to see them a little bit further upfield. And I thought that's what Tonali was going to be. I thought he was like the Pirlo type, but he is a bit more attacking, isn't he? Like, he can get back and stick a tackle in and win you back possession. But yeah, I think sort of being in the middle of the park, pushing into the final thirds, he's best role. Mm. So I still say that we need a number six desperately. No, maybe it's not desperately, because we've had people to fill the role like Bruno.
Bruno!
But I think if we can push Bruno, if they're on midfield too, then that would be class. But as you say, I think Tonali could be a ready-made replacement. If we do sell him, then we'll spend that money on a good number six.
It's also, I'm just reading something that came out from before we started the podcast, and I did a video yesterday on the channel about Darren Ashraf. Apparently Man U and Newcastle are still £13 million apart on the deal for the sporting director, Darren Ashraf. Apparently Man U are only wanting to pay a couple of mil, and they're happy to wait until the end of the year, to get him in. Newcastle want around £15 million. But Darren Ashraf, I love the way we're just taking
this out of these
I just love it.
Well, it's good.
And I'm just like, do it.
He's obviously needy. He's like the sort of Isak of sporting director, hasn't he? We feel like he's irreplaceable. Like, we brought him in immediately. He was one of the first like appointments that we made, like, after the takeover.
Yeah.
We were after him for a long time. He was like the first name on the radar, like when the takeover happened. Got the deal done pretty much straight away. So, and yeah, he's meant to be one of the best in the business. This is why Man United won. Man United is a massive club, like worldwide, historic. The fan base, like absolutely, like a big, big franchise. So, yeah, if you want him, you got to pay for him.
If you want the Ash, cash up the cough.
Yeah.
That's a bit wrong. I don't have the cash.
I don't even really know what, like, gardening leave technically is.
He's living the dream.
Are we still paying his wages?
Oh, aye.
But he's just sat with his feet up in his garden.
Yep, that's exactly that.
That's kind of mental, that. But
it's an amazing, amazing thing to have.
I don't really get, like, our standpoint. So if we're paying him, then we might as well just fuck him off. Instead of, like, keeping paying his wages, because he's probably on a kind of decent wage.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I also understand not just wanting to let him go.
Yeah.
Like, if Man United say, oh, we'll give you 2 million, and we're like, we want 15.
Aye.
Like, we'll need a couple of closer negotiations. Maybe it's between 8 and 10, then let's start talking. But unless you're serious about taking him, then we'll keep paying him tight.
I think we know that we're slightly holding the hand because position of power comes with us, because they obviously want him in for the summer window, which is a massive transfer window for Man U as well. Many outs, so many ins, maybe even a new manager.
Yeah, he's under contract for us.
So exactly, we're not going to be like, oh, I mean, we just take this direct football that we've planned for the next 10 years.
He's not out of contract.
He's not out of contract. Yeah. He's doing up hedges.
He's all.
He's
cutting his hands.
He's cutting his grass. He's trimming his edges. He's sorting his bush out. He could keep on doing that. The lucky man getting paid millions. Ticks more sense. Okay, he's probably thinking, hey, you can keep all your finny sales.
He's probably reading the same articles that we are. Like, 15 million a pot, are you?
That's not going to get done anytime soon.
That's
this guy will do me Spanish garden next week, and I'll fly out to America to be gone now there, because he's on millions of pounds a year. We do not gardens worldwide. Worldwide gardener. Anyways, enough of Dan Ashworth and my need. Let's talk about the big game. And we'll little look towards Sheffield United as well on Saturday, because it's a huge two games in the space of a few days for the Toon.
Double week.
10 days off. Wednesday night at Selhurst Park. It's not on TV. Crystal Palace, who are, by the way, typically have hit form under their new manager. Oliver Glasner's been in for several games now. Wasn't quite working out. He's obviously trying to put in a new style of play. You can see that a bit, but they've been looking a bit off it until they went to Anfield and won the other week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other day, they absolutely battered. Did us a favour, to be fair, beating West Ham in the hunt for the European places.
Yeah.
Battered West Ham 5-2, and he's turned Jean Mateta into really Jean-Claude Van Damme up front, because he's banging
him
in. He's a killer. Absolute killer. He's about 7 foot tall. He looks like he should be playing for Newcastle Eagles. Not the Eagles, not Crystal Palace. He should be playing for our Eagles. He is huge. And he is a threat up top. Obviously, they've got Eze, Alicia, get all the talking points. I've seen someone in the comments before saying Newcastle should activate Alicia's 60 million release clause. I'll obviously Chelsea be linked to doing that. I mean,
but they did last year, didn't they? They had a deal agreed.
He signed another deal, didn't he? But Palace, okay, tomorrow night, the injury news at so far today is Louis Miley has joined Joe Willock out for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's a measure that's been taken in anticipation for next year, more than anything. They've said he could probably play, but
I think it's two smart decisions learning from the Botman mistake.
Finally, we're not rushing players back.
Yeah, we've made some big mistakes over the course of this season. Maybe it's Vassells is another one. We know that Isaac played injured, Wilson's played injured, everyone's played injured. So, yeah, now we're getting to the back end of the season. We made a huge mistake with Botman. So, yeah, now we're taking the appropriate precautions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two midfielders, a position that we're pretty short in right now. And until the end of the season, nothing's really going to get better. I think Joe Linton's probably not going to see the pitch again this season. Miley and Willock.
Well, Joe Linton, the whole can.
If we're lucky. But so, right now, we've only got Anderson with Longstaff, who another one has played injured. I forgot to mention Longstaff injured
for like months.
And Bruno. So yeah, we've only really got three midfielders. One's a young'un and one's injured. So yeah, it's not the best, but we'll roll with it and see what happens.
It's one of them ones where I know there's only five games left, and they've went for it. Listen, I think it is the right decision, because you don't want to aggravate and then miss pre-season and it stumbles up, because Willock's been like that all year.
I think Willock done that at the back end of last season, didn't he? Didn't he Didn't he get injured and then he came back and then got like a big injury that ruled him out for the last like three games or something? Like that?
And then he's obviously came back this year. He came back against Man U in the cup, did well, and then was out for months. Came back, played a couple of games. Clearly wasn't himself. Now he's out again for months. So that one makes sense. The likes of Pope, Trippier, Almiron, Julian, and Eddie Howe said today he hopes that they're going to be back in training soon and will feature before the season end, which will be a big boost because we need players back for the 14th of May. That Wednesday night game at Old Trafford, we'll be doing a watch along for that. That could be the battle for six. Imagine if we see the line of Jones back for that one. Pope's and goal. Yeah, that's what you want.
And that's on the bench at least,
aren't you? Because the good news is,
exactly,
I get Trippier and Tino again. That's what we want to see. Callum Wilson is going to be in the squad for tomorrow night's trip to Sellers Park, which is huge welcome news.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, to relieve some of that pressure off Isak, give us a different option off the bench. Wilson's got a very good record against Palace as well. I remember being there a couple of years ago for that overhead kick.
Oh, yeah.
I saw us get a 1-1 just after the takeover. Me and Rubenstein were down there. That was good graph. Shout out Ruby. And then Bruno can now play as well as he wants.
Yeah.
Suspension free.
Watch him get a yellow card. Guarantee. I'm going to put that on.
I'm going to build a bet tomorrow. Wilson to get booed. Wilson to score, off the bench, and Bruno to get booed. That's the winner.
Bruno's definitely getting booed 100%.
He's having on well. Just going straight in. Eric Cantona.
He might do. Because we've said over the course of how many weeks was it? Games? Was it 12 games or something like that? That you went like without a yellow card? Like, he's that kind of player who can get a yellow card. He is a little bit rushing a challenge, and he's got that sort of Brazilian feistiness.
Mm.
He's prone to a yellow card. Like, he's one of them bet builders. Get Bruno on a yellow card. Probably going to happen. Then he went like 11, 12 games without one just to make sure that he didn't miss a game. Was it two games he would have got suspended? Or just one,
Two
game suspension if he got one more yellow card. He went 12 games without getting one. Now that's out of the window, he's going to be like, bah!
35 seconds in. Wait out Elise, problem solved. Win the game.
Play a stressfully play. Woo! Play Rick Flair.
I've been waiting for that for 12 weeks. He's been waiting for that. Oh, hey. Good stuff. But Palace, we mentioned, obviously, they're on a good run, Keg. They obviously don't have much to play for, but now they're just in the room for things. They're always that, innit? They are the mid team.
And not in any relegation threat, serious relegation threat anyway. They're not pushing for Europa League and not like that. They're just 12th every year.
12th. That's the safest. We're talking about bets. That's the safest bet you will ever place.
Palace 12th.
Palace every 12th to 14th is an absolute certainty. So, like I said, new man just came in. Glasner, bit of style of play, starting to score goals. Are you worried for tomorrow night? How do you think it's going to go? Will we get the 3 points?
It is a tricky one. Like I said, they're on good form and it's away as well. We've been on good form, to be fair. Like, we're probably as confident and as high as we've probably been all season, to be fair.
We didn't want that break, did we? Like,
really? This run's been doing us really, really good. But it's away to a solid team in pretty good form. So, yeah, it could be a sticky one. A point might be all right, but obviously, we have got more than enough, even with the injuries. Even like, if Wilson can come back, that'd be nice. I think we've definitely got more than enough in the tank to go up and get 3 points. But yeah, it's definitely going to be harder to achieve than just saying that we are. Yeah,
I think it is. I know we've been in a good run of form, like you've said. They're in one. It kind of points towards a draw, which has been the last couple of results. I look at our.
I think a point.
It wouldn't be the worst result.
It's not the worst result. Smash Sheffield on Saturday. Now we're trying to maintain sixth and potentially even take over in fifth. Yeah, we don't want to be dropping points to Crystal Palace.
It's
one of them.
You want to edge it, don't you?
Yeah, it's one of them that is kind of pointing towards the draw, like, isn't it?
I think so. Last year was 0-0. Year before, that was the 1-1 Wilson's overhead kick. Wilson scored the year before that back in 2020 when we won 2-0. Wilson and Joe Linton. And then we lost there in the 2018-20 season. If you look at Palace's record this year at Selhurst Park, they have won 5, drawn 4, and lost 7. As yet, they have failed to win consecutive Premier League matches at Selhurst Park this season. So they can obviously do that if they beat us after thrashing West Ham the other day.
Yeah.
What I do like the other day was Henderson slip up. Did you see his goal? And he conceded. We'll have more of that, please, on Wednesday. Dino.
Oh, Dino. He
had a nightmare. A horror role.
Remember when he was from the England's number one?
Aye.
Man United's number one.
That turned out well. He was full of himself now, wasn't he? That didn't turn out well.
Completely forgot about him.
He's replacing Sam Johnstone and Neto, still sidelined. Check the courier.
He's been the keeper all season.
He's in general. He's England's number three. Himself, Check the Corey, who's a kind of midfielder, that'd be fair. Jessica and Luma, and obviously Mark Gee, who's obviously top centre on Newcastle. We link with him. He's sailing. So
those
are misses for them.
Like, he's good. I like him.
But it's on what defence do we put out? Is it going to be the same as Spurs, when obviously you've got, you know, your Crafts, your Baines there at centre back, all that? How do you reckon? More like Mr. Lena prediction, what we're seeing?
Yeah, so for me, obviously the Tottenham game, I did predict awfully that we would go with that back four, and it was that stinking that I didn't even post it, because I just thought it looked like that's fucking shit. That. So I was even more surprised to see that I was actually right. So yeah, Murphy right back, Craft and, was it Burn?
Craft and Burn
was
centre back.
No, Craft and Shaw was centre back with Burn left back. But what was more surprising is something that I did predict and got wrong, that Hall and Livermore were on the bench, because they weren't meant to be, because they didn't train. They hadn't trained much, and they got on. So they were both subs used, so obviously they were fit enough to get on this, on off the bench, and now they've had, 8 days, 10 days off? So I think if they're fit and available, as well as Craft and Murphy Dunn, I think we've got to switch it up. So my prediction, you'd go with your best team, not the team that done well last week. So for me, it's got to be Livermore, Shaw, Burn, Hall. That's my back four.
I like that.
Yeah. I think that's currently, with the injuries with Trippier, that's our best back four.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I hope those fullbacks. I think Tino will definitely be fit enough. Whether he starts Hall would be, will he do that anyhow? Away from home.
Yeah, but then if you don't start Hall, then it's going to have to be Burn, and then probably Craft,
Aye. He did well against Spurs.
He did well enough, and he did well enough against City and United in the Cup earlier in the season. So it's not the worst thing in the world, like say, how well he's done against Tottenham as well. Like, three of the best teams in the league, to be fair. Tottenham, City and United, he's had an absolute blinder.
Yes.
So
His worst game was against Everton.
West Ham, he was shite against West Ham, didn't he?
West Ham, he was so bad, actually. Yeah, he got pulled off, didn't he?
Yeah, he was subbed on, then subbed off.
Oh, he was awful.
So, yeah, it's just
he hadn't played many games.
So it's not the worst thing in the world if Craft starts, but for me, that's our best back four. Tino, Hall, fullbacks, and Sharburn in the middle.
And then finish it off for us then, who's midfield, and then go top, we're going to play Gordon Barnes knees that again.
Midfield's easy, because we've just said we've only got three. Anderson, Bruno, Longstaff, and then, yeah. If you look,
is that really our only options? So now there's no Willett, now there's
Joe White, huh?
Joe White's kind of, because you look at the bench for the Spurs game, it was Youngins on it, and Joe White was there. And
so that's my prediction I've got on my phone there, but that's what bench.
So we are literally knackered if we get another midfielder in general. You'd have to maybe drop in a Richie or put... God, we really can't afford any injuries or suspensions to midfield, can we?
Yeah, that's it. We've got three youngsters, Alex Murphy, Joe White and Ben Parkinson on the bench.
Seen Joe White scored a screamer on training the other day, like.
Did he? Right. See
that. Up top's looking good for us. Everyone wants to big up Zays and Alicia's, and they're all very, very good players, but our front three as well, man. Gordon, Barnes and Isak.
Yeah, so I think that's got to be the front
that's
three.
That's going
to
be good
if everyone's 100% fit, which you would like to think so. Nothing was mentioned in the press conference, and they've had 10 days off since the last game, so yeah, that's got to be the front three. Gordon and Isak,
I think it could be a tasty
with Wilson on the bench, which is a change. We'll replace Gillespie on the bench.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
No, Gillespie's
need more two goalkeepers on the bench. We'll put Callum Wilson on there instead.
Gillespie's getting more pissed than us, man. You're not seeing when he started in Newcastle, are we?
He's been getting pissed since he's
signed. I see. He's living the dream.
You know, 25 grand a week contract.
He's
got an anarchy.
Brought his stag dude with Wheelstone Reader. Did you see that?
I seen he was in town. I didn't know that was
what
it was
for. More Gillespie stag.
Was it? I don't know. I see people got pictures with him. And, he was in a tune top. I think Brucey Scott got pictures with him, or someone did.
Of course, he's everywhere. Brucey, isn't he?
Yeah, I've seen someone get pictures with the Wilson Raider wearing a tune top. Yeah, I didn't know that's why he was here.
So, if we can get the job done against Palace, we then got Sheffield United on Saturday. Actually, as always, I'll do a score prediction. I want to hear yours as well, Keg. Honestly, for Palace tomorrow, I'm thinking it could be a 2-2, you know, and it wouldn't be the worst.
Yeah.
But I'll be positive and say we'll get a 2-1 win. Edge the 3 points back at Newcastle.
Yeah, I agree with 2-1 with me heart, but me head says 1-1.
1-1, aye.
Yeah, I do think it's just got draw written all over it. But
so
we do have more than enough to get past them. So even if it's a 3-1-er,
we can do it.
Mm. We really, really can. But they're in good form, and it's away, so just a little bit nervous about this. But yeah, I think a point's fine.
Aye,
but 3 points is more than capable.
We are more than capable of getting 3 points. But I tell you what, I won't be too upset, you know. But if I'm doing my live match reaction tomorrow night, check it out full time. if it's a draw. If we take a point, we'll keep
as long as we play well and it's not a scrappy shit draw where they dominate the majority of the game. Like, as long as we play well and it's just one of them kind of tough, scrappy away games, like Celtic Park, it is a pretty tough place to go.
It is an awkward place, isn't it?
Yeah, so as long as we play well and come away with a well-earned point, then yeah, it's fair enough.
Because I think if we just keep the unbeaten run going, which we've been doing so well, it's important for me.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, let's briefly touch on that number four. 9-0. Now it's got to be. We beat them 8-0 away. I want 9 now. Yeah, I want to outdo the away game.
Yeah.
8-0 away. Barely are putting 5 past them. I'm double fingers. So I'm after.
I don't want to slam them too much, and just in case it comes around the back.
Oh, well, I mean, it'll be fucking 3-3, man. It'll be like the Luton game, the Bournemouth game, high scoring draws.
As long as we get 3 points, I don't really give a shit what the score is, but. We beat them 8-0 earlier in the season. To be fair, we had more players available then. Like, that was the game that Barnes got that freakish injury, didn't he? And I think Botman picked up an injury. Was that the day he picked up?
That was the actual. Then we had decided to play him for 2 more games after that.
It was like that Thanos meme. Like, yeah, we got the 3 points, but what did it cost?
Everything.
that pretty much ruled Botman out for the season, because even when he came back, he was shite. Barnes picked up a weird injury that kept him out for months. So, yeah, that was a bit of a shit show.
It was. Dodgy too.
It was, aye. Score could be absolutely anything. 3 points is, I'd like to say, guaranteed. Again, I'm going to touch wood and hopefully we're not jinxing it, but guaranteed 3 points, score prediction, I don't care. As long as we win. Nice, easy win, comfortable 3-0, I would take that.
Oh, aye. Take that all day long.
If Burnley, who's shite now, by the way,
can put
5 past them. Yeah, you'd like to think that we can... at least match it.
Sheffield United missed loads of chances as well, though.
I didn't even bother watching the highlights.
Probably
the two worst teams in Premier League.
It's actually a really, really good game. Really good game. And two teams that definitely are Championship teams. but Sheffield United, you know, I know I got McBain, and you've topped that. And who was it that scored the good goal for them again? They scored a great goal, but they missed so many easy chances, Sheffield United. So I'm looking at this one, and I'm thinking, I don't know what, maybe it's in my head because we're talking about Palace. I'm thinking like a 5-2, something like that, maybe 5-1, something like that.
Could do, yeah.
Feeling that though. 3 points.
As long as we get 3 points,
should be good Saturday. Either way. A couple of questions that were in the chat, then we'll fire through them. Get your last ones in as we're signing off on this week's podcast. When do the Adidas kits go on sale? Well, the first one, home one, goes on sale on the 7th of June. And then the away and third one will come out in July. And August or late July for the third one as well. People are talking about Bruno's dad here, saying they've met him and he sounds a selfie with him.
Everyone has, man. Too far.
All right, lads, if we make Europa League, which teams would you want?
Depends who's in.
Exactly.
I haven't got a clue.
We'll do that closer to the season. When the teams qualify.
Yeah, see who's in the pot.
I'll tell you what, I love the trip to Milan for the Champions League. That was the best one for me. So I wouldn't mind doing some random ones I've never done before, to be honest with
you. That's what's random good ones. About like the Europa League. Like, anyone can be in from anywhere in Europe. Like, it doesn't just have to be like, yeah, half decent like Spanish, German, Italian, French teams. Like, you can go fucking anywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Because
hopefully we are crossing that European bridge.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about it. Is Miggy 100% gone this summer? 100%. I very much think so.
Yeah, well, you like to think so, but you never know.
Yeah, oh, we're cashing on Miggy. Passy's in the house. Good that he missed Wellstone Raider.
You'll basically with Jordy Wellstone Raider, aren't
you? Ah, yeah, Jordy Raider. 2-1 to us tomorrow, 4-0 to us on Saturday, 1-0 Arsenal, says Tony. Oh, is that kicked off already? Is it Tony? He's in the air with the life, scores. It is Arsenal 1, Chelsea 0 already, Trossard, but Chelsea are missing Cole Palmer tonight, aren't they? He's not there, so.
Palmer's out the day, is he?
Aye. Illness. Cold Palmer's got a cold. So,
that's him getting beaten in the name of Nelson's goal.
Exactly, the cold Palmer, cold Palmer I've seen. So they're absolutely done for. Right, happy days. I probably missed some comments there throughout, but we've been busy. We've got through it. And that is your week's podcast. I think next week, people.
Next week.
Don't want to say it too soon, but we could be joined by a special guest. So stay tuned to who that is. Follow us on socials as we'll reveal who that is next week. Probably let you know on the Monday or Tuesday just to get confirmation on that. But we are waiting on getting guests on. More so over the summer, probably, because then we haven't got the games to look forward to, games to talk about. We'll start doing podcasts where we talk about people's careers and stuff and things like that, mix things up.
More life story podcasts.
Life stories, IPS moments.
Love it.
Lovely stuff. Yes, ready. Cheers, everyone that has watched along live on YouTube and that is listening now on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there on all audio platforms. Cheers again to Anarchy Brewery for hosting us. You can scan the QR code in the top corner of your screen if you're watching on YouTube to grab yourself a pack of war beer. If not, the link is in the description on the audio and on YouTube now if you are watching back. Cheers, Kay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, mate. It's been a pleasure. Cheers for everyone that's watching. And we'll see you on the next one. Enjoy yourself.